Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to again stand before you this morning and share God's word with you. And we will be looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15 to 20 this morning. And the title of the sermon is A Serious Warning. A Serious Warning. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, just a few verses before our section, Jesus commands us to enter the narrow gate that leads to the narrow way. This is the way of life. But the Bible says a few are those who find it. There is another gate which is wide and it leads to a wide path. And the Bible says this is the way to eternal destruction, and many are those who are on that path. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ demands a response. Jesus wants us to make the correct decision. It's like you've been at church, you've attended a service, you've heard the sermon. The next step is, what decision have you made regarding Jesus Christ? Don't say, wow, what a sermon Jesus preached on the day. And what a preacher he was. The thing is, have you understood that you are spiritually bankrupt? Poor in spirit and in need of a savior. Have you understood that you cannot enter the kingdom of God relying on your works, on your efforts, self-beliefs, self-righteousness, and even merits? You need to forsake your sin and come repentant before God, the source of true righteousness, to seek His mercy. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls for the proper response by saying in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. Don't keep going your way, but come God's way. Is your decision one of obedience, trusting wholly in Jesus and resulting in eternal life? Or is it one of disobedience, resulting in eternal condemnation? The decision that you make will be based on what you believe to be true. This is the challenge of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the message preachers of the gospel need to proclaim. They have the responsibility to make this clear to the people. And by the way, this responsibility is not only given to preachers of the gospel, but to every disciple of Jesus Christ, including you. We have the responsibility to tell people to follow Jesus. But you know what breaks my heart? And I have to admit, gets me angry at times. It's the realization that we have many people who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but what they've heard about Him and His message is a distorted and somehow inaccurate presentation and view of the gospel. They think they know God. They think they are of the faith and have entered the narrow gate and are following the way of the Lord, but have been deceived. And who have deceived them? False prophets. False teachers. We have the responsibility to warn people, to warn them as Jesus did in our passage today. Therefore, let's read together Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Father, won't you help us this morning to understand your will, to understand your thoughts, to understand your mind regarding this passage. A serious warning to us as your church, to us as your people, as well as to those who claim to have come from you, to have been sent by you, to have been commissioned by you, but they are not. Help us, O God, I pray, to understand our responsibility and to do that which gives you praise and honor. And help us, dear Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The first point I would like to discuss with you is beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Verse 15. The Bible says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What a way to start a passage. Beware of false prophets. Be careful. There is danger. Do not give heed to them. Do not devote yourself to them. Jesus is here warning us of one of the greatest threats of our welfare. But it is not one that most Christians, it is rather one that most Christians ignore. Even when they read this section of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is here giving us a serious warning about people who can affect us by what they preach and by what they teach. They preach and teach falsehood, leading many, and I mean millions, to believe and follow their lies and be lost eternally while thinking they were okay. Do you know what the greatest threat to our welfare is? It is not the economy. It is not politics. It is not our finances. For those things are limited to our earthly life. And I'm sure you know by now that life does not end here. The greatest threat to our welfare is that which will affect us internally and determine our eternal destiny. That's our greatest threat. Why should we be careful of these false prophets? Jesus says, because they are ravenous wolves. They are dangerous. They come to kill and destroy. They don't have your best interest at heart. Now, who are these false prophets? But before I define what the Bible means by false prophets, let me briefly tell you something about a true prophet. Ever since the fall of man, men have been running from God. Running from God to hell as fast as you can think of. And God decided to choose certain people whom he redeemed and then sent them to mankind to draw men's hearts back to God. These are his prophets. And you find in the Old and the New Testament that a true prophet was known by two things. Number one, true prophets were commissioned by God. And number two, they were given a message by God. A true prophet was called by God, and the content of their message was given to them by God. In a nutshell, this is what we should know about a true prophet. Now let's focus on false prophets. The Bible is not quiet about these people. And warning against them is something both the Old and the New Testament have repeatedly done. Let's look at what the Bible says about false prophets in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20 to 22. Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22. And see what God says about false prophets that will appear on the scene. Deuteronomy 18, 20 to 22. But a prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And you may say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. The Bible says these prophets speak presumptuously even in the name of God when God has not sent them. They are not called by God. He has not given them a message. But they say, God has spoken to us. You want to know who is a true prophet, God says? Well, whatever he says, declares the Lord, comes to pass. If not, then you are dealing with a false prophet. And what should you do to them? Stone them. Do not be afraid of them, God says. And then God, speaking through Jeremiah, rebukes again false prophets in chapter 5, verse 30 to 31. Let's turn there, Jeremiah 5, 30 to 31. Jeremiah 5, 30 to 31. God rebukes them by saying, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And listen to this. And my people love it so. And my people love it so. They say they represent God. They say they speak God's word, but they are all lies. God did not commission them, nor did he give them a message. They were sent to deceive the people, and trust me, they did a great job at it. They prophesy falsely, God says, and my people love to have it so. What a tragedy. And church, listen. Things were so bad in those days that in the same book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, God warned the people to stop listening to these self-proclaimed prophets because they spoke of visions from their own imaginations and prophesied, but it was not from the Lord. The things they said were not true, and the things they foretold did not come to pass. No accuracy in their prophecy. They were all lies. A true prophet had to be 100% accurate in his message and in his predictions. Not 50, not 60, not 80% accurate, but 100% accurate. They should have been stoned, but the people were so far from God. And instead, they listened and they followed their lies. God couldn't take it anymore. He sent them to captivity. It was too much. Now let's look at what the New Testament says about these people. False prophets in the New Testament. Beside the warning that you have in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 20, Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 says this, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. They will appear and they will deceive many people. And who he's talking is Jesus Christ. You go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Jesus keeps telling them, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. And Peter warns us in chapter 2, verse 1, saying, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, even stating clearly that part of the reason for the rise of these false prophets and teachers is because, listen to this, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, people will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. People would want that and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That is the same thing Jeremiah, as well as Moses in Deuteronomy, described about false prophets. They will come and there will be plenty of people who will rejoice in their coming because they want to hear what pleases their ears. Why is that? Because they do not want the truth. They just can't stand it. What can we then say? False prophets were present in the Old Testament, present in the New Testament, and guess what? They are everywhere today. Using the same tactics, claiming to have been sent by God, claiming to have received the message from God, and you hear them say, God told me. Oh, brother, God spoke to me. God has spoken to me. I've got the revelation from God. God has revealed this to me. And some go as far as dialing in the middle of a sermon, a number, claiming to be talking to God directly, and people in the congregation go crazy, shouting, waving their hands, whistling, and going on, preach on, brother. What on earth is that? How sad is that? Jesus says, beware of them. Be on the lookout. Be careful. They are dangerous. He's not saying laugh at them or laugh with them. Feel sorry for them, all shame. They don't know what they are saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. Say, I am warning you, beware of false prophets. Beware. Now, how do we identify them? How do we identify false prophets? We've been warned about them. But the question is, how do I recognize them? What are the marks of a false prophet? Look at verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. These false prophets that Jesus is warning us about are not easily spotted. You must carefully examine them and what they say. That is why the warning is, beware. Take caution. It can be very difficult to identify false prophets when they claim to worship God like we do. They even use the Bible when they teach or preach. They do not appear to be enemies of the flock, but they are friends. They come in sheep's clothing, the Bible says. They come appearing as the one that is supposed to be the protector of the flock. In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15, Paul tells us something about these men. He said, for such men are false apostles, deceitful wonders, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. The false prophet has not come to be part of the flock as sheep, but to lead the flock as a shepherd. That is why they are so dangerous. False prophets may look like shepherds, but inside they are ravenous wolves. Their goal is not to feed the sheep, but to eat them up. They will take advantage of the sheep to get what they want to fulfill their own desires. Their concern is themselves, not that of the sheep. It may be money, it may be a sense of power and control, it may be fame or a combination of all those things. But the truth is, they are really after their own self-gratification. They may talk about Jesus and the scriptures and how wonderful it is to be a Christian. But the truth is, they are working for their own kingdom and not for the kingdom of God. Some false prophets are not very well hidden and can be spotted, you know, without a sweat. We can easily tell that the doom prophet, you remember him? The doom prophet was false. Together with his buddies, let's say the one who made people drink petrol and eat grass and snake, saying it tasted like chicken. Why shouldn't I go buy chicken and cook it for myself? The Mormons, or generally known Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, displays its true nature or its true colors when you examine their doctrine. You know what they believe? Let me tell you. They teach that Jesus and Lucifer or Satan are brothers. Can you imagine that? Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Sons of a God named Elohim. Their Jesus is a glorified, exalted human who attained godhood. The goal of Mormonism is to reach the same state and become gods that will rule over their own planets. But this is the problem. We know what they believe. We know what they do. But more dangerous are those who claim to be evangelical. They look like Christians. They talk like Christians. They mingle with Christians. What they say really sound biblical. They can quote the scriptures, memorize them. These false prophets are in churches that we know and will easily associate with. Now, how do you identify them? The Bible says, check their fruits. Like we heard this morning, check their fruits. Check what they teach, meaning their doctrine, and also how they live. Jesus says in Matthew 7, 16 and 20, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. question to ask yourself when you listen to them. Do they exhibit this fruit by both what they preach or teach and how they live? Let's look at the first one. What is it that they teach? What is their doctrine? You will know false prophets by their teaching and their doctrine. Now remember that in the Old Testament, a true prophet was known by the accuracy of his prophecy or his predictions. Whatever he said must come to pass. We read that in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22 and 23. Now in the New Testament, things are different. In the New Testament, we know a true prophet if what he says comes from and aligns with Scripture. That's it. God has given us the Scripture. We have the whole counsel of God at our disposal, contained in this book, or perhaps in your cell phone and tablet, the Bible. The Bible. And that's our advantage. We have God's word given to us compared to what Moses and the people of Israel experienced when he wrote Deuteronomy 18, 22, 23. They didn't have the full counsel of God. They didn't have the full Bible, but we have it. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, listen to this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by who? His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word. John 1, 1 to 2, as well as verse 14. The Bible. False prophets have a message of easy salvation. Their message is the message of health, wealth, self, happiness, positive thinking. They may speak things as though they are from God. But if you check correctly, they are not found in the Word of God. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter, verse 1. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, it says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce what? Destructive heresies. They are the compromisers. They leave out certain things from the Bible. What they are not comfortable with, or what will make their followers uncomfortable, they don't address that. Sin, repentance, holiness, do not say those things. Give the people what they want to hear. Tickle their ears. Make them feel good about themselves. After all, God is love. So how do you know who they are? Listen carefully to what they say. Do they speak the Bible? Do they give the whole counsel of God from the beginning to the end? Do they withhold nothing? Can they say like Paul, I am free from the blood of all men, for I have not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God? Martin Lloyd-Jones said, inevitably, false prophets are characterized by an almost entire absence of doctrine. You don't hear them talk about doctrine. They don't want to discuss doctrine nor theology. Everything seems very vague. There is no message of holiness, no message of obedience, no message of righteousness, no message of justice, no message of judgment. It's all about happy feelings. Let's be happy. Yay! God is love. Is it in line with Scripture? That's the question we need to ask. When it come to you, God told me. God just said this to me. God spoke this to me. Ask them, is it from Scripture and in line with Scripture? And let me be honest with you, church. I get uncomfortable when someone comes to me and says, God told me. I know we don't mean it that way. But when you use the term God told me, spoke to me, revealed to me, it's as if what we have in this book is not complete. And God needs an extra revelation to speak to me. What we should really be saying is God has laid something on my heart. God has impressed something on my heart, and I would love to share it with you. I would love you, and I would give you a 10 rand if I have, and I would listen to you. Because that's biblical. So can we change that? Instead of saying, God told me, we need to identify false prophets by their doctrine. And then secondly, we need to identify them by their lives, their fruits. Are they living a righteous life? The kind of life described in the Sermon on the Mount? Paul says, in the last days there will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Now listen to the warning. Have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes of and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men opposed the truth, men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not go very far. Because as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone, says the Lord. Check their lives. How are they living? How is their marriage life? What's their view on money? What is it that they say about the other person who hates them? How is it that they do even ministry? Look at those things. Check their lifestyle. And you will see their fruit. Lastly, verse 19. Why do we have false prophets? Why do we have false prophets? Why should they be there to deceive people, one can ask? Why has God not prevented them from appearing? And the truth is, God has ordained that they should exist. Have you ever thought about that? Now the question is, why? Quickly, let me read 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. The Bible says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion that they will believe the lie and all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. God shall send a powerful delusion that they should believe the lie. Who believe the lie? People. People. Then why do you do that, God? In order that they all might be judged who believed not the truth. God wants that delusion because it becomes the point of attachment, the point of attachment for those who reject Jesus Christ. And so they are ordained for judgment. So church, be warned. Beloved, be watchful. Many of these false prophets are going to look like the real thing. They are going to be very pleasant, very sincere people. Talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible, talk about salvation. Completely inoffensive, anxious to please everybody, accommodating to every people's viewpoints, rarely critical of other people's views, praised by many and condemned by few. Large crowd will gather around them and listen to them and think they are great. And this is the scary thing. They will be leading large crowds of people to the broad way that leads to destruction. And how do you avoid that? Know the scriptures. Read the word. Meditate upon God's word. Read the Bible for yourself. Know what they are capable of doing. Know what God says they will do. Read the scriptures. Stop wasting your time reading motivational books written by who? And neglecting the Bible. This is about God and about you. This is what God wants you to know, to live a life that pleases Him. It's all in here. How many motivational books have you read? And a week after you feel down, you want to buy another one. But this book is always, always relevant. No matter what. False prophets are all around us. On TV, on the radio, claiming to speak for God. Test them. If they prophesy the future, they must be 100% accurate. For anything less proves to me and should prove to you they are false prophets. Then what should you do? Flee from them. If they promote any other God than the God of scriptures, don't listen to them. Flee from them. If they are not in agreement with what God has revealed about himself in scripture, they are false. Flee from them. That's what we need to do. Let me close by reading one verse. Turn with me to John, 2 John, verse 10. 2 John, verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Who is John talking about here? False prophets. He's saying, if they come to you and they do not bring this teaching, they do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he came in the flesh and he is God, do not receive them into your house or give them any greeting. For whoever greets them takes part in their wicked works. How many false prophets have we invited in our homes by switching on the TV and listening to their garbage? How many have we invited in our cars, driving with us by listening to the radio and feeling okay with whatever they are saying? They can easily get into us and mess me and you up with what they teach and preach. The Bible is giving us a serious warning. beware of these people. My wife and I have got one of our friends married for 9 years, started spending time with weird books, listening to weird things, and before we knew it, she divorced her husband, and she's now on a quest to discover a real calling or meaning in life. Jesus is no more attractive to her. Beware of false prophets. Let's teach our kids, as young as they are, let's teach them God's word. Let's sit with them and let's tell them who Jesus is. Let's present him with all his glory and his beauty, and let our children fall in love with Christ and grow with him. Let's teach our wives. Let's sit down in our homes. Let's go through scriptures together and let's read it and discover this beautiful God we serve. Beware of false prophets. Let's know the Bible. Let's read the scriptures. And by God's grace, we will be fine. Father, thank you so much. Help us, O Lord, understand the value of the treasure that we have in your word. Help us, O God, cherish your truth, the Bible, God's word given to men, so that we can know you for who you are and live for you. Help us, O God, be careful as we live lives, careful of false prophets and everything about them. Let's reject their lies and constantly run to the truth that is found in you, and find full and total satisfaction in you, for you are good. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.